This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As usual, there was a story that was to be continued, right? Okay, we'll continue it inshallah in the middle of the class. And we'll start one at the end of the class to be continued in the last time that I'm going to see you inshallah tonight between 5 to 6 inshallah. Okay. Last time we stopped at the word Wallahu al-musta'anu ala ma tasifun. I just need somebody to tell me, what did you learn yesterday? Somebody to share with me something inshallah. What did you learn yesterday? We're learning lots of lessons from Surah Yusuf, right? What did you learn yesterday? Nothing? Mashallah, alhamdulillah. Yes, brother? How to exercise or to learn real patience when you are exposed to the situation like Yaqub alayhi salam, when they came to tell him that his son is lost. And who is the reason behind that? It is his own sons too. So this is what's the meaning of beautiful patience. Yes, sister? Yeah. Okay, we'll get the three of you inshallah, but the sister here first. Exactly. Allah should be number one in your list when you are in need. Unfortunately, what we do in real life, we exhaust all the means. We go to everyone, and when nothing works, then we go to Allah at the end. But the Prophet ﷺ taught us, when things come to such a situation, كان إذا حزبه أمر, when he is put in such a situation, يهرع إلى الله, meaning he rushes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala number one list when you need help, inshallah. Yeah, the sister at the back, yeah. Make complaint only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you want to seek Allah's help, there are things that only Allah can do. You can't ask people to do. So you have to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The sister who was on, yeah. Exactly. He offered them the excuse, and subhanAllah, they just took it, and when they came back, they said, okay, he told us the wolf has to be blamed, let's blame the wolf, and we'll get out of it. A brother? Yep. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges us by the quality, not the quantity of our deeds. So make sure what you do meets two conditions. Revive your intention. Why are you here today? To learn, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So revive your intention all the time. In order for any action to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, two conditions to be good. The first condition is the last verse in Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf, surah number 18. The last verse. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ. Whoever wants to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he'll be amongst the successful inshallah, may Allah make us all amongst them. He said, فَلْيَعْمَلْ. Let him work. Let him do deeds. عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described that amal or deed. He said, righteous deed. And then he said, وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Do not associate partners or your intention with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you're coming here, you know, to do it, to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second condition is that it has to be the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not the way of my culture, not the way of my forefathers, not the way of my community, not submitting to peer pressure. It's the way that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, inshallah. Okay, great. Let's move on, inshallah. So the last word he said, Yaqub alayhi salam, he said, and it's only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I can seek help from on that you describe. And we said the word describe here means lie. They are telling a lie, right? But he used the verb describe. You see how, you know, the language of prophethood, this is what the Quran is teaching us. Even when you're angry, you should use a good language. He didn't say that you lie. He said that you describe. But the description here means the lying that they are telling. Now they say, if you're a liar, you have to have a very good memory. Why? Because if you're telling the truth, you will just go back to one source. What happened really? And you will share it. But if you're a liar, you have to make sure what you said last time so that you know, everything will be in order. Otherwise, everything will be disclosed and you will be embarrassed, right? Now, I'll give you an example. And this is exactly what happened with Yusuf alayhi salam. Because, you know, according to Al-Qurtubi, rahimahullah, when the brothers of Yusuf came in front of him, and as I told you, they chose the night, and they acted as if they are crying, subhanallah. When Yaqub alayhi salam looked at them, they were confused. They didn't know what to say. So when they said it's the wolf that devoured him, and then he looked at them, and they were like, one of them said, no, it was the thieves who killed him. So now there's a contradiction. You see what I'm saying? When the prosecutor in the court calls the witnesses, he's going to squeeze them, right? He's going to ask them too many questions to try to get the right information from them. So subhanAllah, once Yaqub alayhi salam felt like, you know, I think he's not telling the truth. So one of them said, oh, it is the thieves who killed him. Then he said, now, stop here. Is it the wolf? And it was a very merciful wolf that devoured him without touching the shirt? Or if I would just believe you and say it is the thieves, what's the main concern of the thieves? To kill a young boy who's 7 years old. It is the shirt. Why didn't they take the shirt? He has nothing but the shirt. So if it's the thieves, they would kill him to take the shirt. But again, you brought me the shirt. You see what I'm saying? So they say, if you lie, you have to have a very good memory. And this is why one of the prosecutors in one of the cases, he got the person who was supposed to be the eyewitness. And he asked him, did you see the criminal? He said, very clearly. And he said, when was that? He said, like, it was during the night. I said, you can see him clearly. He said, yes. He said, great. And then, you know how they start moving and then come back to him? It's like, you know, you were coming from where? He said, I live in a village and I was going to the city that night because I was like buying stuff for the next day. He said, like, what was the next day? He said, it was the Eid. He said, which Eid? He said, like, you know, Eid al-Fitr. He said, it was the night and it was Eid al-Fitr. And you can see him clearly in the night. He said, yeah, the moon was full. And this is when he was caught, right? He said, the moon was full during the last day of Ramadan. So that's why, like, if you lie, you have to have a very good memory. And you have to be careful. Okay, let's continue, inshallah. وَجَاءَتْ سَيَّارَةً. And as we said before, سَيَّارَة means a caravan, not a car. Okay? So a caravan came, فَأَرْسَلُوا وَارِدَهُمْ. You remember what Sheikh Waleed told you yesterday? وَارِد, and the word word. يَرِدِ الْمَاء means to go to the water. So the وَارِد means the person that they will assign to go and bring them water. فَأَدَلَى دَلْوَى. He put his bucket down in the well. What happened? Who was there? Yusuf alayhi salam. So he was waiting. And something came to him. The help came now. So when the bucket was down, he held fast to the rope in the bucket. And the guy wanted to pull the bucket and it was heavy. What's going on here? And then it was Yusuf alayhi salam who held fast to the bucket. So when the guy pulled the bucket and Yusuf was there. قَالَ يَا بُشْرَى هَذَا غُلَام. The word Bushra, it comes from Bashra. Bashra means, you know, the complexion or the face. And usually the face, as we said before, this is where you get the expressions. This is where you can tell the person is happy or mad, right? So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran usually talks about the people who will make it to paradise. He would say, Al-Malaika will give them the glad tidings, yubashirunahum, right? So yubashir means it's the reflection of your emotions in your face. So he said, Ya Bushra, as if he's calling happiness to be reflected on his face. Glad tidings, good news. That's another meaning. Good news. هذا غلام. Here is a young boy. And then, وأسروه بضاعة. What's the meaning of أسروه بضاعة? They hid him. They concealed him as if he's a merchandise. Why? Because Yusuf alayhi salam was very beautiful. And as a young boy, they said, he should be running away from his master. This is what came to their mind. So now we have to hide him, because if people saw him with us, they will just ask, who's he? Or his master might be looking for him now, and we want just to make some money or something out of him. So they took him and they concealed him as if he's a merchandise. So he got out of the world. This is the first test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now he's taken as a merchandise, a second test. Moving from one plight to another plight. Moving from one hardship to another hardship. What is the lesson to be derived here? This is life on earth. Okay? So you get married, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the test. Right? Because during the engagement period, everything is nice. Right? This is what they say. You know, they say the first year, the man talks and the woman listens. And the second year, the woman talks and the man listens. The third year, both of them talk and the neighbors listen. So life is a test after a test, right? So take it the way it is. Okay? And then the children comes, another responsibility. And I know, subhanAllah, many of the, you know, young parents, they will come to me and say, oh, we didn't think that this is a great responsibility. Once they start having the kids, it is, and this is life here. Okay, take it the way it is, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all to Jannah. Say Ameen. وَأَسَرُّهُ بِضَاعَةً وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best what they were doing when they hid him as a merchandise. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَةٍ. SubhanAllah, it's amazing in the Arabic language that the word, where's the sister who was asking yesterday about Yabkun? Look at this one here. شَرَوْهُ. It comes in the Arabic language, the root of the word, شَرَى. It could be buy, purchase, or sell. SubhanAllah, the two opposites. Who can give me another example in the Quran? The word yadhunnu. It means to be doubtful about something. And it comes in the Quran meaning to be certain. Can you give me an example? Yes. In Surah Al-Haqqah, the people who will receive their record with their right hand, you know they're going to say, هَاءُ مُقْرَأُ كِتَابِيَ. Here you go. Like, you know, I made it. I got an A+. I'm going to Jannah. He's very proud. He's very happy. Why? Why did he make it to Jannah? Because he was a lazy person in this dunya? He's going to say, إِنِّي ظَنَنْتُ أَنِّي مُلَاقٍ حِسَابِيَ. ظَنَنْتُ, in the Arabic language, if you ask anyone who knows Arabic, he's going to say, ظَنَنْتُ means, I was doubtful. I was not sure. But in this verse, it means, I was dead sure that I'm going to stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I prepared myself for this time, for this moment. In whom illa yadhunnun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse, in whom illa yadhunnun. In fact, they are only having doubts or building their decision on conjecture. So again, this is the opposite meaning. You understand what I'm saying? So here, sharawhu bi thamanin bakhs. The literal meaning of sharawhu, it would be they purchased him, they bought him. But in fact, it means they sold him. How can you know this? You go back to tafsir. So, وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ means that they sold him for a paltry price. Why? Why? Because at the very beginning, وَأَسَرُّهُ بِضَاعٍ. They hid him as a merchandise because he's a free person. But they took him and they sold him. Now he's going to be enslaved. And this is another hardship. Another hardship. وَشَرَوْهُ بِثَمَنٍ بَخْسٍ دَرَاهِمَ مَعْدُودَةٍ. Very few dirhams. وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. They just wanted to get rid of him. Why? Because his master might be looking for him. This is what they thought. Or whoever misses him is going to be after him now. And he's coming to say, like, where is he? So they just wanted to get rid of him and make some money out of him. So وَكَانُوا فِيهِ مِنَ الزَّاهِدِينَ. They just wanted to get rid of him. Some of the scholars of tafsir, they said, who are they? Who are they? شَرَوْهُ They, right? Who are they? Is it the people who got him out of the will? Or some other scholar said, subhanAllah, his brothers came back to check on him to see what happened to him. And again, this is like a double crime. After they left him, they wanted to make sure that somebody is going to take him away. So they came back and they found him still there. And then they found the people in the caravan and they just sold him. But this is like, you know, this is one of the opinions. But the stronger opinion is that it is the people who got him out of the will. They hid him or they concealed him as a merchandise. And then they sold him, you know, for a very paltry amount of money. How can you, do you have other examples of the word sharauhu? Or the word yashtari? Literally, when you say yashtari in Arabic, how many people speak Arabic here? What's the meaning of yashtari? Buy or purchase, right? Who can give me an example from the Quran, the word, you know, the same word meaning to sell? Sister at the back. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ يَشْرِي, right? It's يَشْرِي. Okay. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَشْرِي نَفْسَهُ ابْتِغَاءَ مَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. Again, if you translate this literally, it would be amongst people there are some who would buy or purchase themselves for the sake of Allah. In fact, the meaning is the opposite. They give themselves, so they sell themselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the opposite meaning, which is the literal meaning here, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. This is the literal meaning. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala buys from the believers, what? Their own selves, their souls. وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ. And their wealth. What's the price? بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. It's Jannah. The price is Jannah. So subhanAllah, is Jannah cheap? No, it's not. What should you give in return for Jannah? Yourself and everything that you have. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. So don't be miserly. Give for the sake of Allah. Okay. وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِنْ مِصْرَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَاهُ. Now, Yusuf is, alayhi salam, is sold as a slave. And the person who will buy him is from Egypt. And he told his wife after he bought him, Akrimi Mathwa, be hospitable to him. Give him a good lodging. Treat him well. SubhanAllah. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Yusuf was in the world, how did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comfort him? He inspired him, right? وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْهِ لَتُنَبِّئَنَّهُمْ بِأَمْرِهِمْ هَذَا. We inspired him that there will come a time that you will remind your brothers of what they have done to you, right? So, the question here is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we said, we derived four things from that verse yesterday, right? It means that Allah comforted him. He will not die. He will reunite with his brothers. He will be in a higher status. And they will not recognize him at that time. Right? SubhanAllah. Now that he's being sold, look at the contrivance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something is bad, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his mercy will be there. Who bought him? Not anyone. It's Al-Aziz of Egypt. Like, you know, one of the top ministers in Egypt at that time. And, you know, it was told that he was the minister of treasury, or let's say minister of finance by the language of the 21st century. So subhanAllah, look at this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him comfort again. It's not anyone who is buying him. It is Al-Aziz of Egypt. And look at this. Akrimi Mathwa. Treat him well. Be hospitable to him. This is a compensation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it easy for Yusuf alayhi salam. Asa ayyam fa'ana. We might benefit from him. Aw natakhidahu walada. We might even adopt him. So this tells you that they didn't have children. أو نتخذه ولدا. Is adoption halal in Islam? No. Is it halal in Islam? I'm saying the word adoption, التبني. No. With 100 O's at the end, okay? No. Okay? Some people, like, you know, they try to quote me. It's like, yes and no. No, it doesn't apply here. Okay? Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was allowed before, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the Prophet ﷺ marry one of his wives just to cancel and abrogate adoption. What is her name? Oh, I can't give all these candies. Okay. I was expecting someone to say the answer anyway. So, Zainab bin Jahsh, right? Because Zayd ibn Haritha was her husband. And the Prophet ﷺ adopted him before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala abrogated this, right? And he was, subhanAllah, he was called Zayd ibn Muhammad. People used to call him Zayd ibn Muhammad. And look at this, because the Prophet ﷺ treated him very well, subhanAllah. One time he was traveling and somebody recognized him, one of his uncles, and he came and his father, and they came to the Prophet ﷺ. And it was Khadija radiallahu anha who bought Zayd to help the Prophet ﷺ as a maid. And the Prophet ﷺ adopted him. So when his parents came and they wanted to take him back, so the Prophet ﷺ said, I'm not going to ask the 4,000, but I'm going to ask Zayd to choose. I'm not going to oblige him to stay with me or to go with you. And subhanAllah, when they asked Zayd to come, say, here's your parents. If you want to go with them, you go, you are free. And then he said, no, I would stay with you, Prophet of Allah. Allahu Akbar. Look how the Prophet ﷺ treated him in a nice way. And this exactly reminds me of the story that, you know, Sheikh Walid shared with you about Amr ibn al-As. Oh, it was, I think, Sheikh Yasser. Subhanallah. The Prophet ﷺ used to treat everyone very nicely, to the degree that everyone thought that he was the first one in the heart of the Prophet ﷺ, and he's the most beloved to him. And this is why when Amr ibn al-As came from an expedition and he was victorious, so he came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Prophet of Allah, who's the most beloved one to you? He said, Aisha. And then he was turned down. It's like, I don't mean from amongst women. He said, Abuha, her father. It's like, I'm talking about men. And the Prophet ﷺ, he could have said Abu Bakr, but because he loved Aisha so much, he said, her father. You see? And then he said, okay, who's next? He said, Umar ibn al-Khattab. He said, who's next? He said, Uthman ibn Affan. He said, who's next? He said, Ali ibn Abi Talib. He said, who's next? Who's next? So he came number 21. So what I'm saying is, look how the Prophet ﷺ treated his Sahaba in a very nice way. This is why, and that's what we should learn, inshallah. We should treat everybody in a nice way. And this is Islam. And subhanAllah, people might accept Islam because of the way you treat them. And I know many people who came to Islam that way. You know, who took Islam to Indonesia? No fighting happened there. It was the behavior of the business people amongst the Muslims who traveled there. Who took Islam to the second largest community on earth today, to India? Again, it was the behavior of Muslims who traveled there. Who took Islam to China, the third, you know, biggest Muslim community on earth today? Again, it was the behavior of the Muslims. What will take Islam to the whole world today? Give me the word. The behavior of the Muslims. Do you like stories? A short one. And this is the one that's not going to be continued, okay? The Prophet ﷺ was walking one day and he saw an old woman. She was carrying a heavy load. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, can I help you? She said, yes, please. So he carried the load. And he escorted her till they arrived to her house. And subhanAllah, once they arrived there, she looked at him and she said, young man, I have nothing to offer you. And I can't thank you. But the only thing I can tell you is, and this is inshallah what we will share inshallah, at 5 o'clock. Can I get some water, please? Some more. But let me finish the story that I promised you yesterday, okay? Let's go back to the atheist. We stopped at when I asked him to turn on the camera. I said, can you see me? He said, yes. I said, I can see you. And I said, can you make a conclusion that we look the same? We have two eyes. We have one nose. I said, like, we have two ears, but mine are bigger than yours. And then at the end, he said, yes, the one who made you is the one who made me. I said, write this down, man maker. And then he wrote it because we agreed that there is, you remember, computer maker, table maker. So I used the same analogy. I said, like, man maker. And he said, yes. And I said, let's go back. I denied your parents because I can't see them and I can't touch them. He said, yes. I said, now I believe that you have parents because I can see you, because you are a sign that there are two people who met together before and you are the product. So you are a sign of the existence of your parents, right? He said, yes, that makes sense. I said, okay. Now I agree that there is an internet because we are communicating now. This is the sign. We can see the computer now, which is the product of the great mind of an electronic engineer. So there are engineers now. I agree with you. Take the word computer maker and say engineer. Now, we believe in electricity because we can see one of the signs of electricity, but we don't have to see electricity to say that electricity exists, right? Because it gives power to the computer. I agree with you now. Now, I believe in carpenters because I can see their work. The table is a sign that somebody made it. And behind every creation, there is a creator. This is why I believe in carpenters now. Now, man maker, take the word and give the real name. We believe now that you and I were made by someone. Who is he? He said, man maker. I said, take the word, give the real name. He said, God. I told you. I said, I told you. You believe in God. He said, yeah. And it took 7 minutes only. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَقَالَ الَّذِي اشْتَرَاهُ مِنْ مِصْرَ لِمْرَأَتِهِ أَكْرِمِي مَثْوَى عَسَىٰ أَيَنْفَعَنَا أَوْ نَتَّخِذَهُ وَلَدًا. And we said that the Prophet ﷺ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to marry Zainab bin Jahsh. Why? To abrogate adoption. But what can we do in Islam? We can sponsor an orphan. And listen to this hadith. Would you like the company of the Prophet ﷺ? The Prophet ﷺ said, you see those fingers together like this? He said, أَنَا وَكَافِلِ الْيَتِيمِ فِي الْجَنَّةِ كَهَذًا. I and the person who would sponsor an orphan in Jannah like this. So he didn't do like this. No, he said like this. So if you want the company of the Prophet ﷺ, not just al-Firdaus, the company of the Prophet ﷺ, this is a very special place in Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all to that place. But when you adopt him, this is not halal. Why? First of all, you're giving him the family name, which is not true. So when the Prophet ﷺ said Zayd ibn Muhammad, he was Zayd ibn Haritha, right? Radiallahu anhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, idu'uhum li'aba'ihim. Attribute them to their fathers, to their real parents, because he is Zayd ibn Haritha. And the same thing applies to anyone who's adopting. Second, he will inherit you. And he's not your son. Again, we are doing another violation of the law here in Islam. But you can spend on him as much as you can during your life. You can give him whatever money you want. You can give him education. You can give him clothing. No problem. But he's not to inherit you. He's not to take your name. This is why. And Allah knows best. وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفِ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, subhanAllah, Yusuf is being thrown in the world, and now he's being enslaved, and he's going to be a maid and a slave. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَكَذَلِكَ مَكَّنَّا لِيُوسُفِ. This is the first step where Yusuf, inshallah, will be powerful by moving to that place. But just to wait. Our problem is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوَّا. Right? Man is impatient. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. When a calamity or a test or, you know, any hardship hits him, he's like, why? He shows impatience right away. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him, he withholds. Like, you know, this is my money. I'm afraid I'm going to be poor if I spend the money. SubhanAllah, isn't this human nature? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, learn from Yusuf. Even he's enslaved now, but Allah is saying, we are giving him power. How come? Wait, you will see what will happen, inshallah. By moving to the house of Al-Aziz, he will have power. So thus did we establish Yusuf in the land. وَلِنُعَلِّمَهُ مِنْ تَأْوِيدِ الْأَحَادِيثِ Meaning, inshallah, very soon when Yusuf alayhi salam will start receiving, you know, the revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he becomes a prophet, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach him something unique besides prophethood, which is how to interpret the dreams. تأويد الأحاديث والله غالب على أمره. And I want you to underline this statement. It means whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala plans, no one ever can stop him from doing whatever he wants. I'm going to help you with this question here. And there are like three candidates for the answer for this question, because it's not only just quoting the verse, but deducing the meaning. There is a verse in the Quran, and I'm going to give you the name of the surah. It's Surah Al-Buruj, that talks about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exactly giving the same meaning. But don't go to the surah. No, don't flip the book. I'm talking to Al-Huda people. Like they are, mashallah, they are memorizers of the Quran, okay? Al-Buruj. You know, everybody here, you know, memorizes Surah Al-Buruj. وَالسَّمَاءِ ذَاتِ الْبُرُوجِ. I'm not going to go through the whole surah. But I just want you to quote the verse that exactly says, as if the same meaning of وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. We'll give the sisters a chance first. MashaAllah, barakAllah fiqh, sakAllah khair. فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he talked about himself, he said, إِنَّ بَطْشَ رَبِّكَ لَشَدِيدٌ إِنَّهُ هُوَ يُبْدِئُ وَيُعِيدٌ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ ذُو الْعَرْشِ الْمَجِيدُ. And then he said, فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. He's the only one who does whatever he wills. How many amongst us, we plan something and it never happens? Many times, right? What's your list that you will do today? Like 20 items. You go back home, it's like I did two. Right? Because of the lack of time, because of the lack of interest, because you were tired, because. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he plans something, no one can challenge him. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. You know, people will translate this, you know, Allah is the irresistible. Like, you know, subhanAllah, any language would be inefficient when you try to convey the connotations of the Arabic language. And this is why if you really want to understand the Quran, you really need to learn Arabic. And this is the only book when it's recited in Arabic that will move any human being into tears. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the Sahaba, you know, and Ibn Mas'ud said this was only after 4 years of the revelation. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Isn't it time for the believers that their hearts will humble and will focus and reflect on what has been revealed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isn't it time? This was like 4 years after the starting of the revelation to the Sahaba. Isn't it time? And subhanAllah, one of the most famous reciters, even he's one of the reciters of Al-Haram, he shared his story, subhanAllah, of like, you know, being guided, you know, and starting to practice Islam. He said it was this ayah. He said one time, you know, I was like any young man, and I would just be like, you know, going in the streets, you know, driving the car aimlessly. And he said, one time I was giving my mother a ride to visit someone. And then I turned on the, you know, the radio at that time. By mistake, it was, you know, the channel, like the Quran al-Kareem. He said, by mistake, because usually he would be listening to music. And subhanAllah, he said, like this verse just came right away. أَلَمْ يَأْنِ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعَ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And it was Sheikh al-Minshawi who was reciting this verse. He said, Wallahi, Wallahi, I felt as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to me alone. He said, isn't it time for you that your heart will submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Isn't it time? He said, I started crying and crying and crying. And I said, yes, Allah, yes, it's time. Wallahi, I'm going to the masjid right now. And he said, I went to the masjid and I prayed Asr. And this was the beginning. He memorized the Quran in 1 year and a half. And he's one of the reciters of Al-Haram. Just one verse hit him in the heart. How many verses hit us in the heart today? What's the problem with our hearts? Allah tells us in the Quran. Everything you will find an answer in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Don't they reflect on the Quran? Or are their hearts sealed because of their sins? So what is the barrier between us and crying when we listen to the Quran? It's our sins.
كَلَّا بَلْ رَانَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ مَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ.
Every time we commit a sin, a drop of blackness comes on our hearts. And you insist and persist on doing that until your heart is covered with a layer of blackness. And this is a barrier between you and Allah. And if the person keeps insisting and insisting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ.
The disbelievers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sealed their hearts because of their persistence in committing sins. Yet, we shared, you know, the good news with you yesterday, Surah Az-Zumar 39, verse 53.
قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا.
O my servants, who have gone to the extreme, transgressed all the limits, committed all types of sins. He didn't say adnabu. Adnabu means who committed sins. But asrafu means transgressed all the limits of committing all types of sins.
لا تقنطوا من رحمة الله.
Never despair of the mercy of Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَغْفُرُ الذُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all types of sins. And as I told you, this was abrogated by the verse that there is only one sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never forgives, which is shirk, to associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَاللَّهُ غَالِبٌ عَلَىٰ أَمْرِهِ. How can we interpret this verse in this context here? It means that the brothers of Yusuf wanted something, right? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala planned something. Which plan do you think will happen, will work? Allah has a plan. They throw him in the well to get rid of him. They wanted to kill him, to get rid of him, right? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him from the well, enslaved him. That looks bad, right? And then he goes to the house of Al-Aziz. It still looks bad, right? But wait. He who loves last, loves longest. Right? So who will be powerful at the end? Yusuf. Who will cry at the end and they will ask Allah to forgive their sins? The brothers of Yusuf, who thought that they are strong people and they are powerful. So this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us here that it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who decides and nobody can stop him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said,
وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ آتَيْنَاهُ حُكْمًا وَعِلْمًا.
When Yusuf alayhi salam attained his manhood, his manliness, he attained his puberty and he became a man, آتيناه حكما وعلما. Meaning? Oh, do we have the English after that? Oh, okay. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we gave him wisdom and knowledge. And of course, you know the knowledge here? It means prophethood. Plus interpretation of dreams. And hukman means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to decide when there is something halal or something haram. That he would make the right decision. And we'll see very soon now what will happen between him and the wife of Al-Aziz. And this is the burhan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in his heart. The judgment. How to judge that this is halal or this is haram. So he would stay from what is haram. And he would follow what's halal. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said at the end of this, the ayah, وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And thus we reward the good doers. And of course, the word muhsinin in the Quran, don't take it for granted as we say. It's not the same meaning all the time. Because sometimes it means the highest degree of this deen, which is ihsan, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as if you see him, and if you can't see him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see you. But sometimes in the Quran it means those who do good. So, can we benefit from the ending of this verse? Can we drive a benefit, a gem for us today? Yes. If you do good, Allah will reward you. Do good. If you do good, Allah will reward you.
So keep doing good. Even though sometimes you might do something right and you think like, you know, the people, like the way they receive this, like it's very negative. There was a man who said, Wallahi la atasaddaqanna al-layla. By Allah, I'm going to give it charity tonight. And subhanAllah, the following morning after he gave it charity, he said, تصدق البارحة على بغي. A charity was given to a prostitute last night. So he was like, you know, subhanAllah, oh Allah, when I give a charity, you know, it just falls in the hands of a prostitute. And then he said, Wallahi la atasaddaqanna al-layla. By Allah, I'm going to give charity again tonight. Some people would say like, you know, oh, it seems like, you know, I shouldn't do it because it's negative. I'm not going to do it. But he said, I will give charity again tonight. Can you give charity now? Smile. That's charity. Doesn't cost you a lot. SubhanAllah. And then he gave charity the following day. SubhanAllah, they said, تصدق البارحة على لص. A charity was given yesterday to a thief. He said, oh Allah, first day a prostitute, second day a thief. والله لا تصدقن الليلة. I will give charity again tonight. And subhanAllah, he gave charity. The following day they said, تصدق البارحة على غني. Charity was given to a rich man yesterday. It's like, oh Allah. So he went to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Prophet of Allah, the first night it went to a prostitute. The second night it went to a thief. The third night it went to a rich person. He said, look at the way the Prophet ﷺ explained it to him. Would you like to know now? Because I think my time is almost over. Okay, let's continue this one. So the Prophet ﷺ said, when you give a charity to the, what was the first one? Prostitute. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide her heart and she will stop sinning. So everything that she will do good will be in your record till the day of judgment. You see how positive we should look at things? Because إِنَّ الصَّدَقَةَ لَتَقَعْ فِي يَدِ الرَّبِّ قَبْلَ أَن تَقَعْ فِي يَدِ الْعَبْدِ. You know, when you give charity, you're giving it to Allah, not to the person. Once you just have the intention that you give it, it's recorded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you intend to give it and something stopped you, you will get one hasana with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the bounty of Allah. But look at the miserliness of human beings. And then he said, when you gave the charity to the thief, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him tawbah and stop stealing. Then everything good he will do will be in your record till the day of judgment. And when you give the charity to the rich man, maybe he will just stop and think, you know, do I receive charity or give charity? I should start giving rather than taking. You see how positive you should look at things? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. The word رَاوَدَتْهُ, and here we'll have to stop and derive many lessons. I'm not going to, inshallah, continue the whole ayah because this is, inshallah, where we will continue, inshallah, between 5 to 6. But I wanted to tell you that for young people who can't abstain from fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and staying away from committing adultery or fornication, this is the biggest lesson. Yusuf alayhi salam was in a situation that was very, very difficult. And the word yurawid, it's to seduce someone to do something that he's not willing to do. And when we say rawadathu, look at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expressed it. He said, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. Allah could have said, وَرَاوَدَتْهُ, meaning a person seduced him. And he could have said, the wife of Al-Aziz seduced him. But what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? He said, the woman in whose house he lived seduced him. We can drive two things here. First of all, that look at the relationship. Who is seducing him? His mistress. The woman in whose house he lives. So look at the relationship, right? He's a servant and she is the mistress. Second thing, it tells you also something about the character and the personality of the wife of Al-Aziz. And I shared this with the brothers and sisters in the Fiqh of Love when I was doing a promotional for the Eternal Journey. I said this, I said, subhanAllah, the woman, when she marries, she wants to marry a man. And by man, I don't mean somebody who yells all the time. By the man, I don't mean who's going to abuse her. By the man, I don't mean the one with the longest mustache and strongest muscles. No. By the man, I meant somebody who would fear Allah and emulate Prophet Muhammad ﷺ as a husband. He was the best husband, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She needs somebody, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, meaning that men are maintainers and protectors of women. And your first job is to protect her from hellfire. Not to protect her from thieves. Not from hunger, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to provide for her if you die. But to protect her from hellfire. And maintain for her everything, and the best thing and the top thing that you have to maintain for her is her deen. Yes, you have to provide for her clothing and her, you know, place to live. What's more important is her deen. And this is why I say, if the woman, when she marries, doesn't find a man in the house, she rejects to live with another woman, then she becomes the man. And this is exactly what happened with the wife of Al-Aziz. She didn't find a man in the house, she became the man. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, الَّتِي هُوَ فِي بَيْتِهَا. He is in the house of Al-Aziz, not the wife of Al-Aziz. But it shows you, and remind me inshallah, between 5 to 6, I'm going to say, you remember when I told you, she's stronger in character than her husband? I'm going to show you with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if you don't make the decision that would please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, being in control of the house, as Sheikh Naveed told you yesterday, when we are in a company, and I said before, marriage is a company. Marriage is a company. It's a kingdom of faith where there is a king and a queen. So the woman is part of that company, but there should always be a leader. There should be a manager for a company, right? Who would decide that? You and I, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So Allah said, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ, meaning men are maintainers and protectors of women, meaning they are going to take the lead, and it's a responsibility. I'm not even going to say it's an authority. It's a responsibility. It's not an honor. It's not dictatorship. Allah is going to ask you in the day of judgment, where did you guide your family as a man? So we need to understand this. So Allah is telling us, you know, the woman in whose house he lived, she seduced him. And they said murawada here means that she tried many times. Why? There are many things that motivated her to seduce him. First of all, she's the mistress and he's a maid. That's number one. Number two, which could have made it easy for Yusuf alayhi salam as, you know, a young man, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala proved it to us. He said, وَلَمَّا بَلَغَ أَشُدَّهُ. He was a man now. So he was living in a different culture. He was away from home. What was home for Yusuf alayhi salam? Bilad al-Sham, Palestine, at that time. This is where Yaqub alayhi salam was living. Okay? So he's now in Egypt, different culture. He's away from all of his people. If he did anything wrong, nobody can see him, right? So it was very easy for him just to respond to her. And he was a young man. More than that, the Prophet ﷺ told us in Al-Mi'raj, in the ascension to the seventh heaven, that he saw Yusuf alayhi salam. And he said he was as bright as the moon. And he said in another hadith that Yusuf alayhi salam utiya shatr al-jamal. He was given half the beauty on earth. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلَكِنِّي أُوتِيتُ الْجَمَالَ كُلَّهُ. The Prophet ﷺ said, but I was given all the beauty. وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ أَبْدَلَنِي بِمَهَابَةٍ يَرَاهَا عَلَيَّ كُلُّ مَنْ يَرَانِي. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaced that with, like, you know, veneration. That anybody who would see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can tell that this is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without somebody guiding him. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to sit with the Sahaba and a messenger would come from the Byzantium or the Sassanid, subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ was dressed exactly like the Sahaba. He didn't wear a, you know, something to distinguish him as a king or something. He was just dressed like them. But subhanAllah, any messenger who would come out of the country is going to say, is this Muhammad? He's going to point at him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They're going to say, yes, it is him. So, I still have 50 minutes? Okay, jazakallah khair. So again, the Sahaba used to say, we would look at the face of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and we can't continue. Because, you know, like he can't resist the beauty of the Prophet ﷺ. So they would say, we'll feel humble. So we'll look at him for some time and then we'll lower our gaze. SubhanAllah. Because of the brightness of the face of the Prophet ﷺ. So imagine Yusuf ﷺ, a very good looking young man, full of manhood, living away from his culture, his family, his country. And again, his mistress is commanding him. And at that time, of course, she's a free woman and he was a slave. And they looked down upon the slaves. And like the free woman, she has the power to do whatever she wants. And subhanAllah. So everything makes it very easy for Yusuf to accept. All the temptations are there. Not only that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right after that, he said, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. And you have to underline غَلَّقَتْ and الْأَبْوَابِ. Because غَلَّقَتْ, it could have been enough that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would say أَغْلَقَتْ. She closed. Or she fastened. Or she bolted. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said وَغَلَّقَتْ عَلَى وَزْنِ فَعَلَتْ in the Arabic language means, you know, she severely bolted. Or, you know, when we have those bolts at the back of the doors, like غَلَّقَتْ, they said there were like more than one. To make sure that they are completely fastened, completely closed. Why? Because she knows that she's going to do something wrong. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say one door. He said abwab, which is the plural of bab, which means door. So it was not one door. It was many doors. And subhanAllah, let me end up with this inshallah, and we'll continue at 5. At the time of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, there was a man in Medina who didn't want to give him the Pledge of Allegiance. He didn't give him al-Bay'ah. So he called him from Medina. And where was Muawiyah at that time? In Damascus, okay? And he had a palace. And subhanAllah, when Umar radiallahu anhu sent somebody at that time, and he said, like, you know, what is that palace, you know, Muawiyah, that you have? He said, you know, Khalifa Rasulullah, we live close to the other empires, and we just wanted to show them that Islam also, like, you know, has majesty. So Umar let it go. Anyway, so when this man came, they took him and they started like crossing doors. So every time they would stop by a door, he thinks like, I'm going to see Muawiyah now. But then this door leads to another door. And then once they open another door, it's like, I'm going to see Muawiyah now. Then they will open the door that, you know, leads to another door. Until there were like many of them. Until like when he, like they opened the door and Muawiyah was there, he said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. He said, peace be upon you, messenger of Allah. He didn't look at Muawiyah and he said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. So he was very cunning. The man was very smart. Meaning, like he doesn't even want to say, As-salamu alayka ya Muawiyah. So Muawiyah understood that. He still doesn't want to give him the Pledge of Allegiance, that he accepts him. So subhanAllah. Did you get the point? You should be laughing. Maybe better English, inshallah, will come from Brother Naveed. I mean, the concept here is, there were like many doors, and he expected like just to see Muawiyah, like when they opened the first door. But like, you know, they would open a door that leads to another door, to another door. Until he came to see Muawiyah after, like, let's say, 12 doors. But the man was insisting that he's not going to give Muawiyah the Pledge of Allegiance. So when they opened the door and he saw Muawiyah, he didn't look at Muawiyah and he said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. Meaning he was giving salam to the Prophet ﷺ, not to Muawiyah. So after all these long doors, like, he didn't panic. Like, you know, they were like, you know, now you're going to see, you know, as if we're saying, like, the king. So you have to panic. Like one door leading to another door, leading to another door. But when he like appeared in front of Muawiyah, he said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. As if he's saying, I'm not going to give you the bay'ah. At least some people laughed, alhamdulillah. Okay. With this, inshallah, we conclude this episode. And next time, inshallah, we will share, did Yusuf alayhi salam ham? I'm going to give you more than 15 evidences, inshallah. Okay, that took me like almost 1 year out of my PhD just to collect those evidences that Yusuf alayhi salam, what's the rest of the sentence? We'll share this, inshallah, between 5 to 6 and the rest of the stories that are not finished. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.